Our scripture reading this morning is from the Psalms, Psalm 24 and verses 1 through 6. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it, for he founded it on the seas and established it on the waters. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god, they will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God their Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, God of Jacob. This is the word of God for the people of God. A little while ago, before we got started, Cliff and I were talking about cloud formations. He and I are both kind of sky gazers. We like to kind of pay attention to what's going on up in the heavens. And it reminded me of Charlie Brown and Lucy and Linus on a wonderful, beautiful summer day, together just kind of laying down on the ground in the summer grass, looking up at the clouds in the sky. And Lucy says to Linus, she says, "Linus, what do you see?" And Linus says, "Well, I see over there the outline of British Honduras. And over there I see the famous painter and sculptor Thomas Aiken. And over there is the stoning of Stephen with the Apostle Paul just standing off to the side." And then Lucy says, "And Charlie Brown, what do you see?" And Charlie Brown says, "Well, I was going to say I saw a ducky and a horsey, but I changed my mind." Our perspective, the way we see things, how we look at our surroundings, at our life, says a lot about who we are. And that lens that filters our interpretation of life is what we call our attitude. And part of what it means to follow Jesus Christ is that our attitude lines up with his. The way we see things, the way we look at things, is the way that Jesus sees things, the way he looks at things. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, the Bible says, "Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus." And in his most famous sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus explains what that means. And he lists eight aspects or eight characteristics of how those who live in the kingdom of heaven, how those who follow him look at life. And we call those eight the Beatitudes. I'm calling them the B-attitudes. They're kind of who we are because of the way we look at things. And today we're focusing on the sixth beatitude: blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And just at the core of the meaning of that beatitude is the idea that it's really important to get our attitude right about our spiritual integrity, about our inner life. Blessed are the pure in heart. It's important to pay attention to what we'll call spiritual integrity. In engineering, which is kind of my undergrad focus, and it's always been the focus of my life, I don't think there's a spiritual gift of engineering. I don't find that in scripture anywhere, but I know that's kind of how I'm wired, is to see things kind of like an engineer would see things. But in engineering, the word integrity is a technical term. It stands for the strength and the wholeness of some material or of a structure. Structural integrity means that whatever's been constructed is able to hold up under its own weight and to survive or withstand the various forces that would that building or structure would experience and pressure it to fall. But if it's got structural integrity, it'll stand. And yet, when that integrity is compromised, when that structural integrity it has some defect in it, then the danger of failure or collapse comes into play. And it's the same way with our spiritual integrity. Spiritual integrity is the strength or the wholeness of our inner being. And it means God has engineered us in such a way to be able to withstand various spiritual forces that would pressure us to fall. And when that integrity, our spiritual integrity, the strength of our inner being, when that's compromised, then our well-being, our spiritual well-being, is in danger of cracking or collapsing. Throughout the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, that spiritual integrity is called heart. It's what our heart is all about in Scripture. And that's why pure in heart is important, because it keeps us strong. A pure heart, or keeping our inner being strong, that's what Jesus is trying to convey in this beatitude. To have that outlook on life, that our inner self is important, is what this beatitude is about. Let's talk about purity for a moment, since this is about blessed are the pure in heart. What does pure mean? I mean, when we think of things that convey the idea of purity, we think something that's clean, free of contamination, maybe 100% genuine. We think of pure water. We think of 100% cotton. We think of genuine leather, pure gold. Those kinds of things convey the idea that it's just one solid, singular element composed of one thing. And it's the same spiritually. A pure heart is composed of one thing. Our inner being is fabricated of one fiber, 100% God. And so when we talk about pure of heart, we're talking about a singularness of our being that's focused on God. It came up in one incident in Jesus' life when he was visiting the home of one of his good friends, Lazarus. Lazarus had two sisters, Mary and Martha. And Jesus showed up for lunch, and Martha got very busy. She got busy cooking and cleaning and setting the table and getting all things ready for Jesus was there. So there's some very special visitor that they had in their home, and she was making every preparation to make sure it would be wonderful. Mary, on the other hand, her sister, never left Jesus aside from the time he walked in the door till the time he sat down. She sat down right at his feet and just was in awe of everything that came out of his mouth. She was just paying attention to him and nothing else. And Mary, a little perturbed at her sister, came out and said to Jesus, "Tell my sister to help me get things ready." And Jesus turned to Martha and said, "Martha, Martha, you're worried about so many things. There's so many distractions that are filling your mind and right now. Look at Mary. All she's done is just to sit here at my feet. You're worried about many things. She's focused on one thing." And Mary and Martha, that's the main point. Is only one thing is necessary. Oh, there's lots of distractions. There's lots of worries. You can find this in Luke chapter 10, by the way. There's lots of things that'll take your attention. But like Mary has found out, there's just one thing that's necessary. One thing. And that's to keep Jesus in focus. And that's what it means to have a pure heart. It means we have an all-consuming singleness about our life. We are 100% Jesus followers. We love God with 100% of our heart, with all our mind, all our soul, all our body, all our strength. And when that love is contaminated with worrying or distractions or temptations, then our integrity, our spiritual integrity, is compromised and cracks begin to form in our spiritual life. Blessed are the pure in heart. It means that our attitude is aligned properly with Christ, because we choose to focus 100% on Jesus. Now, the blessing that comes with that, and all the Beatitudes have that blessing. Blessed are the pure in heart. And the blessing is, for they will see God. That blessedness, that's a particular aspect of joy that comes with this particular beatitude. It has to do with the idea of getting a clearer picture of who God is and what he's all about. Remember, blessedness, we're talking about that unspeakable, undeniable joy, that bliss that's deep down in our soul that comes from knowing that God is at work in our life. There's no greater joy than knowing that God is right here, right with us, on our side, loves us. And there's several aspects of that joy, and the particular aspect that we're talking about here is that we'll have a clearer picture of God. We'll see God. You know, eventually, the Bible says we're going to see Jesus face to face. And when we do, we shall be like him. 1 John chapter 3. When we see Jesus face to face, we shall be like him. And so this journey on earth before we get to that place where we meet Jesus face to face is all about growing in that likeness. And that growing in that likeness has to do with having a pure heart. When we get it right about the importance of our spiritual life, we will see more than duckies and horsies. We will see the Lord. The writer of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14 put it this way, without holiness, without spiritual integrity, without purity, no one will see the Lord. Holiness is another word that conveys that purity idea. The Apostle Paul prays for the Ephesians in chapter 3 of Ephesians. He says, I pray that God will strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, where Christ dwells in your hearts, so that you have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp the width and the length and the height and the depth of God. A pure heart allows us to be fitted with lenses that give us greater clarity about God, lets us see more of God. It's kind of like what we might be able to do this coming Thursday, I think it is. This Thursday is supposed to be the full moon for August. And you know, every month has a different name for the full moon. I think this one has different names, but one of the names for the August full moon is the sturgeon moon, and it's called that because the sturgeon is the largest fish in North America, and so the August moon, when it's full, is very large. And when it's that full and that bright and that large, it's so wonderful to observe it. And it's inspiring, I think, to see a grand full moon. But you know what's even cooler? Is you pull the binoculars out. And you put the binoculars on a full moon on a clear night, and oh my, how much you can see, how that brings that full moon even closer. One time I had the great privilege, because I had a friend who had a telescope, got to look at a full moon through his telescope. And you could see valleys and craters and mountains and hills, and you could, it's almost like you could reach and touch the dust of the moon. It brought it that close through the telescope. Blessed are those who have a pure heart, for they see God like through a telescope. They get this clarity about the character, the nature, the work of God. They're brought even closer to God. So Jesus is emphasizing in this beatitude, getting our life right, getting our thinking right about the importance of our spiritual life. When Jesus finishes the Beatitudes, he spends the rest of the Sermon on the Mount on what a life would look like of a person who believes in Jesus. And he starts by contrasting those whose life is built on the law versus those whose life is built on faith. And so after the Beatitudes, then about the middle or near the end of chapter 5 of Matthew, Jesus starts in by saying, you know, you've heard it said that you should live this way, that thou shalt not murder. You've heard it said. But I say to you, anyone who's angry with his brother falls in the same judgment as someone who commits murder. What Jesus was doing is talking about how important matters of the heart are. You've heard it said, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say to you, anyone who looks lustfully at someone else is just as guilty. Again, a matter of the heart. You've heard it said, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not lie. But I say to you, even if you waffle on your convictions, that's a matter of the heart. If you don't let your yes be yes and your no be no, is how he puts it, you're just as guilty. Life in the kingdom, different from life based on the law, life in the kingdom is life based on what's in your heart. You've heard it said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, if you're not willing, that's a matter of heart, if you're not willing to go the extra mile, you're not living life in the kingdom. Your attitude isn't the same as mine. If you're not willing to give a coat to someone who demands your shirt or vice versa, not willing to give your shirt to someone who demands your coat, you're not willing to walk an extra mile for someone who forces you to go a mile. See that willingness, a matter of the heart. You've heard it said, love your neighbor, but I say to you, Jesus said, love your enemy. Talk about a matter of heart. If you're going to live life in the kingdom, you're going to live life out of a pure heart. Matthew chapter 15, Jesus says, what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart. And this is what makes a person unclean or not pure. For out of the heart come evil intentions, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, slander. These are what make a person unclean, or other translations say defiled or polluted or impure, or corrupt or unholy. These things that come out of the heart, yeah, they show up in our poor behavior, but they start in an impure heart. The condition of our heart determines the position of our life. You can write that down. Condition of our heart determines the position of our life. So that's why Proverbs says in 4:23, above all else, guard your heart. Above everything else, guard your heart, for it's the wellspring of life in you. In our hearts is where we meet God. In our hearts is where we experience amazing grace. In our hearts is where love flows from. And we need to do the hard work of guarding it, of keeping it pure. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, it says, love comes from a pure heart. And in our passage that we read from Psalm 24 today, who can ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart. Remember in fifth grade, Mrs. Bubert was my teacher, and one week we were doing science, and we had an experiment that she pitted the boys against the girls. And so part of the exercise, we lived up around the Chicagoland, and it happened to be there was some snow on the ground. She gave the boys a glass jar, and she gave the girls a glass jar, and she told us, get your coats and hats and gloves on, we're going outside. And I want you to find the cleanest snow that you can find. And I want you to pack it into those jars. And whoever comes back with the cleanest snow will be the team that wins. And so the boys are out there, they're hunting around trying to find clean snow. The girls are out there hunting around in the schoolyard trying to find clean snow. We eventually all get back into the classroom. This was close to the end of the day. And so both jars looked, you know, nice and white and clean. And she set them on the shelf, And she says, okay, tomorrow we'll decide who has the cleanest snow. And when we came back the next day, the snow had melted. And what was left inside the jar was not something anyone in that class would drink. It was cloudy, murky. It had little bits floating in it. We thought we'd got the cleanest snow we could possibly find. And yet when it melted, it showed up on the inside of that snow. It wasn't so pure. It's a great object lesson. And it's a good object lesson for us too. Because on the outside, we might look like snow. We might try to do all the right things. But if on the inside, things are cloudy and murky, that's not life in the kingdom. Life in the kingdom starts by getting the inside right. Get that right first. Get that right. And as that becomes more Christ-like, then the outside of our life becomes more Christ-like. So how does that process begin? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Talked about guarding it, talked about how important it is, talked about guarding it, keeping our hearts 100% focused on Jesus. How does it start? Well, that's a good question. I'm glad you asked. It starts by understanding that it's not anything we do that can scrub our hearts clean. It's only what God can do. The other day I was driving, actually I was coming to work in the morning, and I stopped at a red light. The car in front of me had in its back window a cross. I happened to notice it. And on the cross, something was hanging on the cross. And that caught my attention. And as I looked a little bit closer, I saw, well, it wasn't a decal or anything stuck there. It was a reflection of something off the side of the road. And as I looked closer, I noticed it was a telephone pole that was reflecting off of this car's rear window that was in front of me. And there was something hanging on it. So it was the telephone pole and the cross beam, and then that round canister transformer that was hanging on the pole. And it reflected in the window. And, you know, probably most people wouldn't give it a thought. But then what occurred to me is, wait, there's a transformer hanging on the cross. I think that preaches. You see, what those little canisters do is they step down the electricity. Running through most of the power lines are 20, 30,000 volts of electricity. That's why they're really dangerous. But if 20 or 30,000 volts was to come into this building or into your house, it would fry it instantly. We can't handle that power. What the transformers do is step that electricity down, here's the engineer talking, step that electricity down to about 400 volts. And then it gets stepped down even further when it comes into the service panel in your building, your house, whatever, to where it's 220 or it's 120, and our appliances and our outlets and so on can handle that electricity. And it becomes useful at that point for us. And so the transformers are really important to take what voltage would have fried your house and make it useful. That's what Jesus does. He hangs on the cross, has a transformer that takes the voltage that would have fried our sinful lives, because we're at our heart not pure. The heart is deceitful above all things. But it takes that voltage that would have fried us in our sins, and it transforms it into power that's useful for us to change, to seek forgiveness of our sins, to seek that heart transformation that happens when we embrace the amazing grace of God in Jesus Christ, who forgives our sins, cleanses us, makes us pure. That's the power that's available from the cross to transform our lives. That's where it starts. If that's where you are today and you're thinking about, boy, I'd like to have a pure heart so I could see more of God in my life, then I encourage you to embrace Jesus Christ and his love for you that comes from the cross, because there is power there to make a difference. There's power there for forgiveness and freedom and wholeness. And you shall see God. Get it? Good. Let's pray together. Thank you for your amazing promises. Our life is built upon those promises. We stand firm upon the promises of God. We thank you that a pure heart is possible. Blessed are the pure in heart. You wouldn't have told us that, Lord, if it wasn't something that was achievable, something that was experienceable. So we thank you for that. And we thank you for the promise of being able to see you at work in our world, see you at work in other people's lives, see you at work in our life. And we want to be able to see you through a spiritual telescope where the details are so crystal clear. And we can be moved to even greater depths of awe and love for you. Help us, Lord, above all else, to guard our hearts. And if we need something to jumpstart that purification process, then help us focus on the cross and what Jesus has done for us. Lord, there may be somebody here this morning in the North Bend Sanctuary that would like to experience more of that transformation that is available from your amazing grace. There might be somebody here whose structural, spiritual integrity could use a little shoring up. And they know that they can ask you for help. And if that's the case, Lord, if there's somebody here this morning that is looking for that inner transformation, help them to be honest today with you. Help them to reach out in their heart and seek your power in their life. If there's somebody here who'd like me to pray for you along those lines, someone who would say, Pastor Scott, pray for my continued transformation in my heart, feel free to just lift up your hand. Just let me know. I'll be praying for you. Eyes are closed and heads are bowed, and there's a hand right there. I see that hand. Is there another hand? Anybody who wants to say, Pastor Scott, please pray for my continued transformation in my heart. I see that hand. Any others? There's another one and another one. Thank you. Anybody else? There's another two. Any others? Gracious and loving God, for those people who just lifted up their hands, I'm going to be lifting them up in prayer this week. And I pray right now that you'll just anoint them with a special sense of assurance deep in their soul that you love them, that their sins are forgiven, their guilt is gone because of what Christ has done on the cross. Grant them the power in their heart to live a faithful life. Purify, sanctify, make them holy. Thank you for your powerful presence here this morning to transform lives. We know that you're at work in us, you're at work for us, and you're at work through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.